All right, good morning. Today's daf is daf Kuf Gimel in Menachos. We are 1 week remaining now in the Masechta. And a couple things that we're going to finish. We started the 12th parak of Menachos. Started on Shabbos. We are continuing now in the 12th parak of Menachos. And we got a hold of a tricky sugya. Definitely a difficult sugya. It's been a while since we really encountered such a hard piece of Gemara. And so let me just quickly recap what we've seen so far and finish off this sugya today, and we'll start with the new Mishnah and we move on to a new topic today in the course of today's daf. Okay, so the sugya really starts with a statement by Rabbi Oshia. Rabbi Oshia says on the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph that it comes out that according to Rabbi Shimon, if you make pigel by a mincha, so it's not tamei tumas ochlin. Okay, so as we discussed, in order for a food to become tamei, in other words, in the category of food, in the category of ochel, so the food has to be edible. And Rabbi Shimon says that the parameters of something to be food, it has to be either something that you eat or something that you could feed to other people. Or according to Rabbi Shimon, it had a shasa kosher. There was a time where it was permissible. So for Rabbi Shimon, that is a criteria of what is a food. If it doesn't meet that criteria, it's not considered a food, even though it may be edible, even though there may be nutritional value to it. But according to Rabbi Shimon, it has to be something that you can eat, something that you could feed to others, or something that had a shasa kosher. Okay, so the Mishnah brought down, it's a Mishnah in Bechoros. I'm not sure if it's a Mishnah, but it's a Braisa. Okay, brings down a whole list of things that are Yisuri Hana'a, and in all those things, Rabbi Shimon says that it's not Metamei to Masochlin, it doesn't give off to Masochlin. Now, it's interesting because the Gemara will spend an entire daf of Gemara, most of which we did yesterday, some of it we're going to be finishing up today, an entire daf of Gemara dedicated to a discussion about Rabbi Shimon, and it happens to be that the halacha does not fall like Rabbi Shimon. The halacha falls like the chachamim, which is all these things, even though they're isser hana'a, you're not allowed to get benefit from it, but it's food, but it is food, and so the chachamim are of the opinion that all these things are metamei tumas ochlin, they do fall under the category of ochel. Okay, that's the halacha, but we're not following the halacha today, we're following Rabbi Shimon. Now Rabbi Shimon says it all falls under the category of food. The Gemara, what the Gemara wants to know is this statement of Rav Oshia. Because Rav Oshia says that when you're mefagel b'mincha, when I create pigel in a mincha, so it's not mitame tumas ochlin. That was a statement made by Rav Oshia within the position of Rabbi Shimon. Now let's think about this. We're talking about a mincha. A mincha is flour and oil. Now before I was matish, before I sanctified the flour and the oil, it's edible. Not only is edible, it's permissible. So in other words, it was food. So yes, I was matish it. So I sanctified it. But so what? In other words, at one point in time, it was edible food. So how can it not be metamei tumas ochlin? Of course it's metamei tumas ochlin. It's food. It had a shasa kosher. So this is basically the issue that the Gemara dealt with yesterday. Right? This took us to Kuf Amud Beis. And essentially what the Gemara answered is, well, maybe we're talking about a case where I was matish the wheat while it was still connected to the ground. Okay, and if I was makdish wheat while I was still connected to the ground, so it now has kedushas. It has the kedushas damim. It's inedible, and that continued all the way to the point where I was mefagel when I did the avoda of the kmitza. Okay, good. That was Gemara's suggestion yesterday. It then bridged us to a new part of the discussion, which is wait a second. Don't you have an opportunity to redeem it? Meaning, even if you were makdish while it was still connected to the ground, can't you redeem it? And isn't Rabbi Shimon of the opinion that kol ha'omed liftos kepadui dami? Rabbi Shimon is the person who basically forecasts and anticipates. If it stands to be redeemed, we view it as if it's redeemed. Where do we see this by Rabbi Shimon? So we see this position clearly articulated by Paraduma. In the world of Paraduma, Rabbi Shimon says, it could be on the fire, it could be burning on the fire in its food. What? What does that mean? Yeah, because since the Paraduma is redeemable, we view it as if it's redeemed. And once we view it as if it's redeemed, so therefore it's food. That is Rabbi Shimon, and he articulates it very clearly in the case of Paraduma. So the Gemara then wants to know, well, if that's true by Paraduma, where we view it as if it's redeemed, shouldn't we say that by a mincha? With the flour, the wheat, and the oil by a mincha, if it's redeemable, shouldn't we view it as redeemed? And the Gemara said, not so fast. Those two cases are not similar. The Gemara made a very clear distinction. Look, by the Paraduma, if I find a nicer Paraduma, so I'm obligated to redeem this one. So the idea of redeeming the Paraduma could sometimes be viewed as an obligation to redeem it. But if I have wheat and I was makdish the wheat, I sanctified the wheat, there's no obligation to redeem it, just the opposite. There's an obligation to bring it as a karban mincha. So the Gemara says those cases are not the same. The Gemara then went on to a different discussion within Rabbi Shimon. What about this? Meaning, we have the concept of kol ha'omed liftos kepadui dami, that anything which stands to be redeemed is redeemed. That's Rabbi Shimon. What about this? Kol ha'omed lizrok kezarek dami. If I stand to be sprinkled, so isn't Rabbi Shimon going to say, we therefore look at it as if it's sprinkled, right? Kol ha'omed lizrok kezarek dami. And I'm going to just move, just get to one of the punchlines of the Gemara. What Rav Ashi said yesterday is no. We're going to make the following distinction. In the world of kol ha'omed liftos kepadui dami, if something's redeemable, Rabbi Shimon will say, we'll view it as if it's redeemed. Redeeming something is not a major act. All it basically means is that I'm going to have money, I'm going to have the item of Kedusha, I'm transferring. And transferring is done with simply a word. I would like to transfer from here to here. That's it. That's a kol ha'omed liftos kepadui dami. That's how I could view something as redeemed, even though I haven't redeemed it yet, as if it's already redeemed. But kol ha'omed lizro kezaruk dami, that's a bigger chiddush, because something stands to be sprinkled. Yeah, but the act of sprinkling is an actual action. It's a maisa. It requires me to actually go and take the blood and sprinkle on the mizbeach. There, Rabbi Shimon won't go so far as to say, we'll view it as if it's sprinkled. Okay, so that was Rav Ashi yesterday. Rav Ashi made a distinction between kol ha'omed liftos versus kol ha'omed lizrok. Okay, the Gemara then brought in an entire discussion based on Mishnayos of Me'ila, right, where it seems that Rabbi Shimon does develop this idea of kol ha'omed lizrok kezarek dami by Me'ila. The Gemara yesterday fielded that question. The Gemara made a distinction between Me'ila and Tumas Ochlin. Okay, good. That basically takes us to where we are right now. We are on the bottom of the Amud. We're on Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. We're at the bottom. We're four lines from the bottom of the Amud, and we're starting with the words Meisvei. Okay, and the Gemara now is going to challenge, and the challenge comes from the following. Okay, a little bit of an introduction. There's a carbon. It's called Asham Taloi. Okay, when we learn Krisis, we're going to learn much more about this carbon, which is called Asham Talui. Asham Talui is a very strange carbon. Let's go over the scenario of when a person would not be obligated to bring an Asham Talui. This is all by way of introduction. I have two pieces of fat in front of me. One is chalev, which is forbidden fat, right? Chalev is asur min haTorah. If I eat it intentionally, the punishment is kares. And then there's shuman. Shuman is the permissible parts of the fat that come off the animal. You know, the stuff that we eat, the fat that we eat. So there's chalev and then there's shuman. Now, I have the two pieces in front of me, and I sit down, and, right, schmaltz on bread. So I take a little bit of the fat, and I smear some bread with it, and I eat it, and I walk away. And I don't know which one I ate from. Did I eat from the chalev or did I eat from the shuman? And I come back to the table hoping to learn which one I did. At best, I did it by accident. I didn't do it on purpose. But I came back to the table and it's all taken away. And I don't know. So now there's a suffix, there's a doubt as to whether or not I violated the Isra of eating chalev. Okay? And we'll learn more later on. Now, this is not the time now. The parameters later on of, there's an opinion that I need both pieces out there. It's not just one piece is enough. And okay, we'll talk more in detail when we get to Masechta Krisos. The Torah says if that happened, so there's a special carbon that you bring. It's called an Asham Talui. The word Talui means suspended. It's hanging. Meaning, the Isser's in the balance. I don't even know if I violated the Isser. So the Torah says, under such circumstances, you're going to bring a carbon, and the carbon is called, not carbon Hashem Talui. And the carbon that you bring is for a suffix. It's for a doubt. Now, follow as we go through this Mishnah. Hamevi Hashem Talui, v'noda shalochata. So you burn Hashem Talui, and then someone taps you on the shoulder and says, look, I was there the whole time. I saw you didn't eat the chalev. You ate the shuman. You're good. You're fine. So ima shalonishchat no dalo yafsav yirabi eder. So you are makdish the animal. You sanctified this animal as a carbon Hashem Talui. So before you shecht the animal, someone tapped you on the shoulder and said, you don't need to bring this carbon. So the Rabbi Meir's position is yetze v'yirabi eder. He can go free. The animal can go free. The animal, obviously,
there's no commission to a kedusha.
There's no kedusha in the animal. You were makdish the animal based on a false notion that maybe you ate from the chalev and now you were informed you didn't eat from the chalev. So our mayor says the animal goes free. Good.
Even though he already said it.
Even though he already designated it, but his designation was based on the suffix. But now that the suffix is clarified, turns out he didn't need the animal. V'chachamim omrim. Yeah, if that position, by the way, troubles you, so you're in good company. Because the chachamim omrim, yirat shiistai, v'yimakir v'yimplu damav l'nadava. And the chachamim say, no, you designated the animal. The animal is designated. It's a carbon. It has kedusha. Rashi brings down the Gemara in Krisos. Everything we're saying right now, we're going to discuss in more detail when we get to Masechta Krisos. You will see right now there's a specific reason why we're bringing all this in over here. It has to do with our understanding of Rabbi Shimon and Kol HaOmed Lizrok HaZarok Dami. So right now, we're learning this, but we're bringing this in for a very specific purpose.
Does it matter whether the animal has Kedusha Adam or Kedusha Haguf in this case?
In this particular case, you invested it with Kedusha Haguf.
Oh,
an animal, once you're makdish an animal as a carbon, it immediately moves to the front of the line. It has now Kedusha Haguf. So, Yirachi Savi Yamakar Vimplu Dabav Lunadava. Rashi brings down, in explaining the Chachamim's position, Rashi brings down the Gemara in Krisos, and the Gemara in Krisos over there says, Mitoch Shelibo Nokfo, Gamar Umekadesh Lay. Look, you may have eaten chalev. The person is a God-fearing individual. And I may have eaten chalev, I don't know. And the carbon's gonna bring me a kapara. With all of his heart, he says that this is a carbon. Later he learns that he didn't eat the chalev. Okay, that's good. And he's obviously quite relieved. But as far as the carbon is concerned, he invested the carbon, that animal, with kedusha, with all of his heart and with all of his intent. The animal remains a carbon. But the problem now is he doesn't need to bring it. So let it graze, develop a blemish. Then once it has a blemish, now it's redeemable. Redeem it and take the money and use the money for another carbon. Good. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. And finally, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, there's a third opinion. Can you imagine? There's a third opinion, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yakriv, She'imeinu ba'achetzeh, harehu ba'achet acher. Rabbi Eliezer is the pessimist. The ultimate pessimist.
He's like, no, he's the coverall guy. This is the coverall.
Right? Don't worry, because even though in this particular time you got off the hook, but I'm sure, says Rabbi Eliezer, I'm sure that there's something else that you got, that this animal can cover for, this carbon can cover for. So you know what? Bring it, because it'll cover for another sin that you did most likely. Okay, that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer.
But don't you have to, when you bring your carbon, don't you have to be specific?
Yes. But that's an excellent question, and that's normally the case. And that's why I'm saying that Hashem Talui is a different type of carbon. It's not, it's something that, when we learn in Krisos,
you have to know what you could question
it's
was. Not.
Correct, understood. It's going to be hard to wrap our head around trying to define and identify what is this nature of this animal. Because you're right, in a normal carbon scenario, regular carbon chatas, you can't just simply reassign a carbon to another sin. That doesn't work by a regular carbon chatas. And the idea that Rabbi Eliezer will simply say, you know what? You were okay over here, but you know what? Tack it to something else, right? You'll credit the kapara of this carbon to another sin that you don't even know if you did, but let's say you did it. It's a strange position, And it definitely makes you wonder, how does he understand the whole carbon Hashem Tali to begin with?
But in this case, he put the two fats on the same table. Maybe that was the sin. He shouldn't have done
okay,
that.
Okay, it could be. No, right, but it could very well be. But Rabbi Eliezer says, right, use it for another chay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, but with this carbon Tali that he doesn't need anymore, can you just make it a nedava?
No. Ah. No. It is an Hashem Tali. It can't. There are times when, we talk about an Hashem getting reassigned. An Ashen can get reassigned to a Karban Olah, but this, no. Okay, good. That's step one, and again, we're learning all this for one specific purpose. Misha Nishchat. Okay, now, you two pieces of fat in front of you, you ate one of those two pieces, you didn't know which one you ate. You not only designated a Karban, an animal, as your Karban, as your Ashen Talu, you brought it to the base of Mikdash, and you went one step even further. You shechted it. Okay, now after shechting it, okay, and obviously the blood came out and you collected the blood in a bowl, now someone taps you on the shoulder and says to you, you're good, I was there. You didn't eat the chalav, you ate the shuman, you're good. So now what? Okay. Now the law hadam yishapech v'abasi yisarev. So now, spill out the blood and burn the meat, meaning burn meaning not on the mizbeach. Okay, and there's no longer a need for this.
Don't we have the principle that you once you sacrifice there, you don't waste it?
Yeah, but it's already. Yeah.
It's Rashi brings down the it's chulin sheneshchut bazaro. Turns out that this was not necessary. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Even according to Rabbi Eliezer, I'm asking without knowing the answer. Okay, well, when we come back to Krisus, we'll do this in more detail. Okay, I don't know. Okay, anyway. Nizrak hadam habasar ye'echal. Okay, what if you sprinkle the blood? Okay? And Wait a second. You sprinkle the blood. Now someone comes over and someone taps you on the shoulder and says, you didn't eat it. Okay, but the discovery of your innocence takes place after the avoda has been performed. So the avodah has been performed while you were in a state of not knowing. So the carbon's fine, the carbon's good. So habasar yechel, the meat of the animal is going to be eaten like a chatas meat, like the meat of a chatas. Fine. Rabbi Yossi Omer, afilo hadam bikosi zarek v'habasar yechel. And the whole reason why we're learning this Mishnah in Krisus is for this last line of the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, look, right, blood's in the cup. Right, what a terrible image as I'm about to drink this cup of coffee. Blood in the cup, afilo hadam bekos yizarek, sprinkle the blood, v'habasar yechel, and go ahead and eat the meat. Okay, now this position, Rav Yossi, requires understanding, demands understanding, because what is that? Meaning, I didn't sprinkle the blood yet, so in other words, the avodah has not yet been performed, and now someone taps me on the shoulder and says, you don't need this carbon because you were innocent. I was there. I know with 100% certainty that you didn't eat the chalav. Okay, and maybe you need two witnesses to come and tell you. Again, now is not the time for the details. Just the basic idea, the concept that you don't need this. So the Tanakhama taught us at that point in time, take the blood and spill it because you didn't need it. And Rav Yossi comes along and says, no, blood's in the cup. Sprinkle the blood on the mizbech, and presumably that would also mean that. Treat it like a regular carbon chatas. Give the meat to the kohanim. Let the kohanim eat the meat, etc., etc. Now, how do you understand Rabbi Yossi? Next lines of the Gemara: the Amar Rava, Rabbi Yossi b'shitas Rabbi Shimon Amar, the Amar Kol Ha'omid Lizro Kizarik Dami. So you know what Rabbi Yossi is basing it on. Rabbi Yossi follows Rabbi Shimon, and Kol Ha'omed Lizrok Kizarok Dami. That once the blood made into the cup, and the only thing left is you're going to sprinkle it. Rabbi Shimon says we view it as if it's already sprinkled.
But does that mean you have to go ahead and sprinkle it?
Meaning, of course, you have to do the act.
Pretty good.
But the way Rabbi Shimon views it is as if it's already been sprinkled. So you'll say, wait a second, haven't you been told already now that you don't need it? Yeah, but because Rabbi Shimon, who forecasts and says, you know, you're going to sprinkle it. We view it as if it's already sprinkled. So you know what? Sprinkle it because you sprinkled it anyway. All right? I know that's a funny so sentence.
Klee's already sanctified the dung, and then
it's more than that. It's more than that. The Klee's already sanctified the blood. Which, by the way, hold that thought, because the Gemara is going to take that thought and develop it a little bit more. But right now, what the Gemara now is proposing is that this position, Rabbi Yossi, falls in line with Rabbi Shimon of Kol HaOmed Lizrok Hazarik Dami.
This changes things completely in terms of when the korban is done. Because
correct. Then the korban correct. Is done. That's absolutely correct. It comes out that this understanding of Rabbi Shimon basically says that the moment that the blood goes into the bowl, you're done.
Yeah, that becomes the
right. That right. That
he's saying that it becomes an irreversible process.
Right.
No, but it becomes officially korban is done.
That's, that is exactly what the Gemara is saying.
Zirika was 4.0.
Now the problem with this. The problem with all this is that back on the previous page, what we did yesterday and what I reviewed in the beginning of this morning is that we didn't want to go this far in Rabbi Shimon. Saying things like Kol HaOmed Liftos Kepadui Dami, things which stand to be redeemed, we're going to consider redeemed. Okay, but that's redeeming. That's not a big deal. It's just, it's done with a word. It's done with a verbal designation. Here, it's a step further. Kol HaOmed Lizro Kezarog Dami. It stands to be sprinkled. We'll view it as if it's sprinkled already, but sprinkling is an action. Is Rabbi Shimon ready to go that far and to say and to forecast, well, since I'm about to sprinkle it, we'll view it's already sprinkled. And essentially what Rav is telling us is, yeah, Rabbi Shimon will go even that far. So the Gemara says, let's not go that far. Let's not take it to that degree. Because Rabbi Shimon, those words didn't come out of Rabbi Shimon's mouth. Those words came out of Rav Yossi's mouth. It was Rava who connected Rabbi Shimon and Rav Yossi. The Gemara says, you don't have to do that. You can give a different explanation of Rav Yossi. Michael, exactly what you suggested a moment ago. Midu Taima? The Gemara says, that's the reason of Rav Yossi? No, not necessarily. Amri b'ma'arava mishmei de Rav Yossi bar Chanina. In Eretz Yisrael, when they learn this Mishnah, because remember, in Babel and Eretz Yisrael, they're learning the same Mishnayos. So in Eretz Yisrael, when they learn this Mishnah, they proposed a different pshat in Rav Yossi. Time of Rav Yossi, the kasav klishars mekashan es apsulin lichatchil ali karev. You know what it's all about? It's the klisharis. It has nothing to do with forecasting. It has nothing to do with Rabbi Shimon kol haomed lizrok. That's not it. It's the klisharis. The magic, so to say, is in the klisharis. Once I take blood and I put it into a klisharis now basically transforms it.
That's what's the mincha, because the same thing.
Right, it transforms it. It takes it and basically says, look, I know you were tapped on the shoulder. I know you were told you need the chalev. Now it turns out that you didn't need to bring this karban, but it's in the klisharis. Klisharis can... Right, much like we discussed,
but I think that
the Mizbeach is Mekadesh.
There's a difference between that and Mincha. The Mincha has not seen any klishar, but I think that the animal already saw the knife, and that is a klishar.
Correct. But
so this is really not the first instance of...
Fair enough. And in Eretz Yisrael, that's the pshat that they said, and since that's the pshat that they said, so good. So now, we don't have to take Rabbi Yossi and align him with Rabbi Shimon, and then go all the way to the point of Kol HaOmed Lizrok Hazarik Dami. We don't have to do that. We'll give another pshat. The pshat that was given in Eretz Yisrael, it's all about the klisharis. The klisharis is transformative. Takes blood, which quite frankly shouldn't be sprinkled on the Mizbeach, but since it got into the klisharis, we got this far, the klisharis is transformative.
So at this point, only if the blood was dropped prior to the zrika, then the Kohanim could not eat the meat, right?
If it went straight from animal to floor...
No.
No, if it went into cup and then it spilled...
And then you scoop it up again. Okay.
Amalei Rav Asher l'Rav Kahana mida Amar Rabbi Shimon kol haomed lizrok hazarik dami kol haomed lizrok nami kesarof dami. So the Gemara says, look, we were suggesting this idea of kol haomed lizrok hazarik dami. Okay? Does the Gemara reject it? Right? We're not sure. Meaning... The Gemara did not like to conclude on that matter, but it's out there. Meaning there is a svara out there that Kol HaOmed Lizrok Kesarof Dami, which means, therefore, that Kol HaOmed Lizrok Kesarof Dami, something stands to be burned, we consider it as if it's burnt already. Okay. So now, if that's true, now again, I know this is funny. We're having a discussion in the Gemara of a svara, of an argument which we may or may not necessarily accept. But, okay, this is where Gemara gets a little bit tricky. But let's entertain the idea. Let's just work with the notion that kol ha'omid l'srof k'srof dami. Okay, so para amay mitam tumas ochlin. Gemara now asks a wonderful question. Para aduma. Remember, we discussed it yesterday, and I brought it up in the introduction to today's daf. Para aduma. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's food. It's food. Why? It has the status of food because we said kol ha'omid liftos kepadu adami, because it stands to be redeemed, and since it stands to be redeemed, because remember we discussed, if you find a better one, so bring out the better one. So kol ha'omid liftos kepadu adami. And now the Gemara asks such a wonderful question. Aren't we also entertaining the same idea of kol ha'omid? But here we'll say kol ha'omid lisrof kisarav dami. It stands to be burnt. Meaning, what am I supposed to do with a paraduma? Yep. Burn it. So it stands to be burnt. How do I view it now? As if it's burnt already. So how can you call it food? Food is something that you eat.
But
it's going to be dust.
Because then the korban is to say it's not food form is there.
But paraduma is going to be burnt.
Paraduma is going to be burnt. So why don't we view it as if it's already burnt? Okay. Afra ba'almanenu. It's right now, I know it's an animal, it's mooing, but shouldn't we view it as ashes, according to Rabbi Shimon?
Right.
Okay. And how do we view it as food? So, it's a wonderful question. So Amar Leh, so the answer is Chibas HaKodesh Mechashar Tam. So he says, we're going to go back to our concept of Chibas HaKodesh. Chibas HaKodesh, right, again, it's so hard to put into English what that actually means. But something that's going to be used, generally we talk about things that are going to go up onto the Mizbeach. Things that are going to go up onto the Mizbeach, Chibas HaKodesh, the word Chiba means love. Right, because of it, love for Kodesh, of sanctity, so therefore we'll treat it as food. Like, for example, we said this yesterday. The wood that's going to go up onto the Mizbeach, it's susceptible to Tumah. Wood? How can wood, right, blocks of wood be susceptible to Tumah? So the answer is, Chibas HaKodesh. Levona, right, the frankincense. Okay, and now I have a much better idea of what it is. That's also food. That's food that's susceptible to Tumah. And the answer, once again, is Chibas HaKodesh. So what the Gemara now is going to suggest is, yeah, even if we're entertaining the idea that Kol HaOmid L'Srof K'Srof Dami, that it stands to be burnt, and basically the way I'm looking at it, the animal right now, according to Rabbi Shimon, is I project, I forecast, and I'm looking now at a pile of ashes. A pile of ashes is susceptible to Tumah. And the Gemara's answer is yes, Chibas HaKodesh. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Rabbi Nila Rav Ashi Nehidem Hanyalei Chibas HaKodesh Leifsule Degufe Lekruye Tame Nami Lemimne BeRishon VeSheni." Look, let's understand what Chibas HaKodesh can do. I know that Chibas HaKodesh can disqualify something. That much I know. Which means that it received Tumah from something, it now becomes disqualified. It's Tumah. Can it then make it so that it transmits the Tumah as well? Look, when we have food, right, we know that right in the regular rules of Tumah, food becomes Tumah, so that food that becomes Tumah, let's say the food comes into contact with the sheretz, okay, or any source of Tumah. The food now is a Rishon LeTumah, okay? Now, what if that food touches another food? Okay, and depends on what it is, but it could sometimes transmit Tumah so that the next food that it touches is Sheni L'Tumah. And it can go on to Shlishi, and if we're talking about Kodesh, it can even go so far as Revi. So the Gemara says, I now want to understand this better. This concept of Chibas HaKodesh, I understand that it will disqualify something and render it unfit. Would it also basically make it food-like enough that it actually will transmit the Tumah? So the Gemara says, Tisha to buy Reish Lakish. The Gemara says, you know, Reish Lakish basically asked, not this question, but a similar question. Tzrir Shal Menachos, let's say I have a clump of flour, right? You know, when you this doesn't happen in my house, but right, when you make challah, and anything with flour, sometimes you'll find clumps of flour, right? It wasn't mixed well. Now, clumps of flour, interestingly enough, it never came into contact with a liquid, and so therefore it is not, under regular rules of Tumah and Tahara, not susceptible to Tumah. But we're talking about Sriir Shel Menachos, we're talking about a Mincha. So a Mincha is Kodesh. We have the concept of Chibas HaKodesh. Monim Bo Rishon V'Sheni, or in Monim Bo Rishon V'Sheni. So the Gemara wants to now know, we know it's subject to being Tamei, even though it didn't come into contact with liquid. We know that. But what Reish Lakish wants to know is it going to transmit Tumah? I know it'll receive Tumah, but is it going to be to the point where it's going to transmit Tumah? So the Gemara now wants to know, based on what we're saying, that we're going to view the Paraduma as food. And the Paraduma is going to transmit, not only receive Tumah, but transmit Tumah. So basically what we're saying is, yeah, Chibas HaKodesh is not just enough to receive, it's enough to transmit. So the Gemara says, Kimi Baile L'Reish Lakish Daraisa, Ki Kamrin D'Rabbanan. And the Gemara says, look, our entire discussion over here is on a rabbinic level. Reish Lakish wanted to know the concept of Chibas HaKodesh and the idea that it is able to transmit Tumah from one to another. Is that just a din d'rabbanan, which everybody agrees to, or does it even work on a d'oraisa level? The Gemara says that's the question of Reish Lakish, and that's why he left the question unresolved. Okay, that was a difficult sugya. Okay, it's been a while since we've done something that challenging.
Did you go through that Beishema or not?
No. On this entire, you see, it, right. The funny part is, it's not funny. We've seen this often. Is that the Gemara now just spent over a daf, right? Over a daf of Gemara discussing this position, Rabbi Shimon, and being Matam and Tumas Ochlin. And first of all, on the basic issue of, are these foods Matam and Tumas Ochlin? The answer is they are. Meaning not like Rabbi Shimon, right? The Shoran Iskal, Egla Rufa, Tzipor Mitzora, all the things that are Asta Bahana, you're not allowed to benefit from it. So that may be true, but in the world of Tumah, we view it as food. So, not like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, in order for something to be food, I have to either eat it or feed it to somebody else. Okay? We don't work with that definition in terms of Tumas Ochlin. On the issue of Kol HaOmed, we also don't follow like Rabbi Shimon. Meaning, we don't look at things one step ahead, we look at the situation as it currently stands. Meaning, blood's in the bowl, we don't say, well, it stands to be sprinkled, we view it as sprinkled. We don't say that. We don't follow Rabbi Shimon and his position of moving one step further. So, we had a long discussion, almost two dapim of Gemara, talking about the position of Rabbi Shimon, but lehalacha, he's not following.
So in terms of Hashem Tali, the point of no return is the Rika,
The point of no return by Hashem Tali is that, well, like, no.
The blood goes into the...
The point of no return is sprinkling.
It's not going to the...
It's not going into the bowl.
But if you say point of no return, you're subscribing to Rabbi Shimon then.
Correct. And that's what Rabbi did. That's exactly what Rabbi did. Rabbi says, well, you know, Rabbi Yossi, he goes just like Rabbi Shimon. Because that Rabbi thought that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon go hand in hand together. Okay. Let's start the new Mishnah.
If somebody comes and put tied on the shoulder and say you didn't make a mistake, then everything is going to be burned if the Rika has not been done.
Right. Correct. That's right. That's accurate. We started the new Mishnah, and the Mishnah now is going to be spend the rest of today's daf discussing Neder and Nedava, okay? An area which we've covered many times before. Couple of scenarios which we have not explored, obviously, because the Mishnah is not going to just be repeating information that we've seen before, but the basic idea we're all familiar with. Neder is I make a personal commitment. I'm going to bring a mincha, right? And not only does he say that, but he actually is clear about what kind of mincha he's going to bring. I'll bring a machvas, I'll bring a marcheshes. Remember, five different types of menachos that he could offer voluntarily on his own. Okay, that is a neder. Nedava, it's more or less the same, but with one very important difference. Nedava is, I don't make a personal commitment, I point to flour and I say, this flower is going to be a mincha. And the big difference between a neder versus a nedava is your personal liability. Meaning by a nedava, if I point to this flower and I say, this flower is going to be a mincha, and I lose a flower, so okay, so it's a shame, but I don't have any personal liability. Right? There's no recourse. Right? I designate the flower as a mincha, the flower is to be brought as a mincha. Interestingly enough, as we're about to see in the next Mishnah, usually neder is more chamor. Neder is more strict. Because now that I have personal liability, so now if something happens, I'm on the hook. Nedava, where there's no personal liability, so usually that means we're good.
But where does Shavua stand in this?
Shavua is... Neder is on the object. Shavua is on you. Meaning Shavua is, let's say, I want to say, I will not drink wine. That's a... Shavua is more about the person. Right? It's not on items. Neder is on items. Okay. The Ron says that in the beginning of Nedava. Ha'omer harei alai b'machvas. Okay? So, you come forward to the Beis HaMikdash and you say, I'm committing myself. You don't have to be in the Beis HaMikdash to make these commitments. You could be anywhere. I'm committing myself to bring machvas. Thin pan mincha. Okay? Behavit b'machashas. And he goes to the Beis HaMikdash and they ask him, well, what kind of pan do you want? And he says, put the flour in the deep pan. Okay. B'machashas, or let's reverse the case. Where he makes a personal commitment, I'm going to bring this in my cheshes behavior b'machvas, and instead, as he goes to the Beis HaMikdash, he puts it in a thin pan, and he knows we're talking about a case where he understands the difference between the two. Masha hevi, look, what's done is done, meaning the mincha that he brought is a good mincha, v'yidei chavas lo yatsa, but he didn't fulfill his personal obligation because his personal obligation was a machvas, and he brought a marcheshes. Or marchesh and he brought a machvas. Okay, zu lahavi b'machvas. Now, let's just change one word. Instead of saying the word alai, he said zu nedava. He pointed to the flower, and he said, "This flower I want to bring in." No, I'm sorry. This flower will be brought in a machvas. Behavi b'marcheshes, and he brings in a deep dish. He commits the flower to be brought in a marchesh and he brings in a machvas. Now, interestingly enough, the mincha is disqualified. Right. Because he said what he said. Right? It was his statement which committed the flower to be brought as a mincha. But in that same statement, he also committed what kind of mincha it's supposed to be. And because it was not brought as that mincha, but another mincha, so therefore it is simply disqualified. Now, because it's a nedava, he's not on the hook. He doesn't have personal liability. But the point the Mishnah is making, which is a very strong point, is that the mincha is disqualified because he assigned what kind of mincha it's going
to
be.
But he has obligation to bring a mincha, right?
No.
For something that he has.
No, there are two cases in the Mishnah. The first one is neder, and the second one is nedava. Neder is with personal liability. Nedava is an entire... The thrust of a nedava is on the item, not on him.
Right, but in general, mincha is brought because of an obligation. Like
No. That's a toda. That's a carbon toda. Mincha, no, it's okay. It's good clarifying. The mincha is a person can just simply wake up in the morning and say, I want to bring it. Right? This is my interest in getting close to Tekadosh Baruch Hu. I want to bring a mincha. And the Torah offers him five different types of menachos to bring. I mentioned from the beginning of menachos. There is subtle differences between them, and I'm sure that once the Beit HaMikdash is built, we will understand better what the subtleties are between them. We don't speak the language of menachos.
And
even though we've spent 3 months learning it. Right?
Does he have to specify which one of these five is going to bring? Or just say, well,
the Mishnah is dealing with a scenario where he does specify. He doesn't have to.
So he's making himself a...
Correct.
Problem.
Correct, yes. Danny.
No, I was going to say, we learned previously that the Kohen can choose whatever mincha he brought, right?
if he just says the words mincha. Here he's actually now declaring. He knows. He knows his parshas Vayikra. He knows his five different menachos. He says, "I'm bringing machvas," or he's saying, or the Mishnah second case is, "This is machvas." He points to flour. This will be machvas. That's his declaration. And then when he gets to the base of Mikdash and whatever, on purpose, on mistake, doesn't matter. It wasn't brought as a machvas. It was brought as another type. The Mishnah says it's pasul.
What's the difference between mincha and olah again? If somebody wants to get close to Hashem, what are
again? We don't speak these languages. We right? I don't know. I honestly don't know why a person would be
mincha but not olah or olah.
They both could be voluntary. Olah could be voluntary. You can come to the Beis HaMikdash and say, "I'd like to bring a voluntary olah for no other reason other than I just want to develop a closer relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu."
The Chazanish says that even it took place, he invalidated it before because he put in the wrong clichés.
Okay, I'm fine. Okay. Ha'omer harei alai shnei esronin lahava b'kliyacha. Now, next case in the Mishnah, again, in his very detailed commitment of what he's going to bring, so he says, "I'm going to bring two esronim." Now, as we're about to learn in tomorrow's daf, you can go up to 60 esronim, right? In one kli. That's a lot. Okay, but he says he's going to bring two in one keli and one utensil, vehebi b'shnei kelim. And instead of bringing the two esronim in one kli, he brings the two of them in two separate kelim. B'shnei kelim vehebi b'kli echad, or reverse, he committed himself to bring it in two, and instead he brought in one. Again, mashahevi hevi v'idei chavasa lo yatsa. Good. Give him a big pat in the back for bringing a mincha, but he didn't fulfill his pledge. Now, why not? So Rashi points out very simple reasons. Because let's go with the first case where he committed to bringing in one kli. So how many komets is that going to be? Answer: one komets. Instead of bringing in one kli, he brought in two kalim. So how many komets did he end up bringing? Two komets. That's one too many, right? So in other words, in his commitment to bring it in one kli, he was also committing himself to one komets. By virtue of the fact of him splitting and bringing two kalim, now he has two komets. That wasn't his neder. So he has not fulfilled his neder. Again, because it was a lie, it was a personal responsibility, so we'll simply view this as a mincha, right? As a voluntary mincha, and he still has to make good on his pledge. Now, Eilu b'kli echad, but what, instead of saying the words Allah, he says Eilu, meaning not neder, nidava. Eilu b'kli echad v'hevi b'shnei kelim v'hevi b'kli echad, hare Eilu psulim. Much like in the first case, it's going to be pasul, because he didn't make personal liability. He pointed to the flour, and he says, these flowers, and he pointed to two esronim. These flowers are supposed to be brought in one kli, and instead they were dissected and they were brought in two different kalim, so that's no good. And here, you can't just simply say, oh, it's okay. No, it's not okay, because that wasn't how he described and defined how the flour is going to be brought. Hare alai shnei esronim lahavi b'kli echad v'hevi b'shnei kalim, amru lo b'kli echad. I'm sorry. Next case in the Mishnah. Hare alai shnei esronim lahavi b'kli echad. He committed himself to bring two esronim in one kli, v'hevi b'shnei kelim, and he's about to bring it in two. Amru lo b'kli echad nadarta. So they say to him, wait a second, that's not what you said. You said kli echad, you said one kli, v'hikrivam b'shnei kelim. And in defiance, he still brings it into kalim, psulim. So here it's going to be pasul. Because as opposed to the first case in the Mishnah, where no one corrected him, we could make an argument in his behalf and say, no, this isn't his neder, this is an additional mincha. But here, where they're trying to correct him, and he's defiant, so now we have no alternative but to say, he's being defiant.
Unless he corrects
him. Right? If he corrects them and he says, oh, you guys are right. No, this is separate. So then fine, but over here, in accepting the criticism and not correcting it, basically we have no conclusion but to say, either he can't hear, which you know, we're not going to, right? Which may be true. I know Dan Kafzchus, but he heard us and he doesn't care. I know what I committed myself to. I don't care. This is how I'm bringing it. So the mincha is pasul. B'kli echad k'sherim. However, if he puts them in one kli, so then it's fine. Harei alai shnei asrim lahavi b'shnei kelim behavi b'kli echad. Okay, let's go the other direction. He committed himself to bring in two kelim, and instead of bringing in two kelim, he brought in one kli. Amru lo b'shnei kelim nadarta. And once again, people on the sideline saying, my friend, you said two kelim, not one kli. B'shnei kelim nadarta hikrivim b'shnei kelim k'sherim. Nasna l'kli echad k'shtei menachosh nis'arvum. If it was placed into one kli, so then we treat it like two menachos that are placed in one kli. Rashi reminds us, we learned earlier in the Masechta, much earlier, that if they are in one kli, but I can identify the two separate menachos in one kli, and I could do a comment from those two separate menachos, so it is salvageable. Okay, fine. There seems to be a lot of repetition in this Mishnah. In other words, the Mishnah here went over a number of cases where he states that he's going to bring in a machvas and was brought in marcheshes. Where he said he was going to bring two and instead he brought one. There seems to be a lot of repetition in the Mishnah. The Gemara goes and points out Sricha. All these cases in the Mishnah are necessary. De'i ashmin and hakamaisa mishon damar b'machvas v'kamaisa b'marcheshes v'ahacha de'i divi b'machvas v'i divi b'marcheshes e'ma yidei nidron amiyatsa. Look, in the first case of the Mishnah, there's a qualitative difference between a machvas and a marcheshes. Those are different types of menachos. In the second case of the Mishnah, he's good in terms of quality. He's just bad in terms of quantity. He said one and he brought in two. He said two and he brought in one. So, and conversely, in the second case of the Mishnah, where he took one and he divided into two, so there you can make an argument and say, no, that's not what he wanted. But in the first case of the Mishnah, even though he changed the kli, but the amount is still the same, so maybe you could simply say, that's not a big deal, so tzrichas of both cases in the Mishnah are necessary. Tana Rabbanan Masha, hevi hevi v'yidei nidro lo yatsa, Rabbi Shimon Omer, af yidei nidro nami yatsa. The opinion of Rabbi Shimon, which is not expressed in our Mishnah, but the Braisa points it out, is, according to Rabbi Shimon, what defines the mincha? The kli. The kli defines the mincha according to Rabbi Shimon. So although you yourself said whatever you said, it doesn't matter. Rabbi Shimon says the kli is the koveya, and so therefore whatever kli you put it in, that's what it is. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Doesn't seem like his position is followed. Our Mishnah doesn't even mention Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Zelahavi b'machvas v'hatanya lo kichum kli shareis. So the Braisa says kli sharis is not mekadesh, meaning the way the Braisa sounds like, I designated the flower to be brought in a machvas, and instead it was placed in the marcheshes. The Braisa says, okay, so what's the big deal? That's not what you designated it as. Simply take it out of the marcheshes and put in the machvas. What's the big deal? So, and that's what the Braisa says. Amar Abaye, lo kishim li kariv, al kashim li pasel. Abaye says, no. What the Braisa means, no. Once the flower goes into a kli sharis, it's mekadesh. It sanctifies. Meaning, it's eligible now for all your disqualifications. The disqualification of Yotzei, of Tamei, of all your disqualifications. But, can it be offered? No, can't be offered. Okay. Amar Abaye lo shanu elo shekavan b'shas neder. Our entire Mishnah, which describes how I point to the flower and I say, this flower is supposed to be a machvas flower. Okay? And then what happens is, by accident or on purpose, either way, it was placed in a marcheshes. So the Mishnah says it's disqualified. Abaye qualifies that statement of the Mishnah. That's only true if you defined it at the time when you originally made your neder. Aval. However, bishas afrasha lo. But let's say at the time when you made the neder, you just simply said, I want to bring a mincha. That's it. And you didn't specify minch, machvas, marcheshes, and then you brought the flour, and then you said, when you bought the flour, this satisfies my neder, and I like it to be a machvas. At that point in time, you're defining it as not defining it. Because the only significant point in time when you can actually give it a definition is only going to be at the time of the neder. How do I know that? The Gemara quotes a pasuk, right? Kasher nadarta, v'lo kasher afashta. Only at the point of neder. Itmar nami am Rabbi Acha bar Chanina am Rabbi Asi am Rabbi Yochanan lo shenu lo shekav b'shas neder v'b'shas afrasha lo kasher nadarta v'lo kasher afashta. And the Gemara points out that the same thing was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan as well. That the only time that you can give it a legal definition is only at the time of neder. A little bit further for today. Ha'omer harei alai mincha minas ta'orim. Okay. Great Mishnah. We'll thoroughly enjoy the Mishnah. You come along and you offer a mincha. And you make a commitment. I'm going to bring a mincha. But I want to bring barley. Okay. Now, Chacham, right? You very smart individual. Did you know there's no mincha that comes from barley? Now, that's not totally true,
sota.
Right? The sota comes from barley, but I don't think you're a sota, right? Especially if you're a man. It's kind of hard to be a sota if you're a man. And it is true on the second day of Pesach, a mincha comes from barley. That's also true as well. Okay, but that's it. There's no other mincha that comes from barley outside of those two. And certainly voluntary menachas do not come from barley. So you made the brilliant statement, I'm going to bring a mincha and it's going to come from barley. Okay.
So he's not making
right,
a statement.
Right. Your chances of winning the Nobel Prize, maybe the Nobel Peace Prize, I'm saying, but you're not. but nothing in terms of display of intelligence. Okay? Yavi menachitim. But interestingly enough, right, the Mishnah says you're on the hook. Right? You've committed to bring a mincha and you're going to bring a mincha and I'm obviously going to bring it from wheat because that's where menachas come from. Kemach. You're going to bring it from flour. But you know, the flour that you buy in Publix. Right? Nothing special. Nothing, right? You know, when you bring a mincha, it's got to be fine flour. It's called solas. And you make the declaration, I'm bringing a mincha, but I'm bringing it from kemach. Not fine flour. So yavi solas. So you're on the hook for the fine flour. Below shemen. You make a commitment. I'm going to bring a voluntary mincha, but no oil. Once again, you're so smart. You really are. There's no such thing. No such thing as a voluntary mincha that comes without oil. Now, yes, there are a slew of menachos that come without oil. But that's the sota. That's the sinner. They'll bring a mincha without oil. But you're not talking about that. You're talking about a voluntary mincha. No such thing as a voluntary mincha without oil. So below Shema, below Lavona. Or you say, I don't want to bring Lavona. So Yavi, Shema, Lavona. And again, the Mishnah says, you're on the hook. Even though you made not an intelligent statement, but you're on the hook. Chasi Yisaron, Yavi Yisaron Shalem. If you say, I'm going to bring a Mincha, but only a half an Yisaron. Okay? Not the smartest statement. There's no such thing as a Mincha, half Yisaron. Minimum amount of flour that goes into any mincha is a full Yisaron. So Yavi Yisaron Shalem. You're on the hook. Yisaron Umechsa. What if you say, I want to bring 1.5? Uh-huh. So proud of himself. I want to bring 1.5. So again, there's no such thing. Everything in the world of menachos comes in increments of Yisaron. Right? So there's one.
Two.
There's two. There's no 1.5. And interestingly enough, the Mishnah says Yavi Shnayim, so you're going to now bring two. Rabbi Shimon Poter Shlo is not Div Kinerachem is not. Now, Rabbi Shimon over here seems to be the sensible one in the Mishnah. Again, seems to be because Rabbi Shimon says, "Look, you made a totally unintelligent statement in all the cases in the Mishnah, right? Mincha from barley, mincha from unrefined flour, mincha without oil and frankincense." Mincha from a happy sorrow.
Well, there should be a difference between his lack of knowledge and his intentional making.
So Rabbi Shimon says, in all these cases, you're not on the hook. You're not committed yourself to bring a mincha because, quite frankly, you have no idea what mincha is. Right? You made non-intelligent statements time and again. So the Gemara, we'll just do the first bit of Gemara, and then we'll stop for today. So the Gemara says, "Am I nedu pischol imo?" Who? I don't understand. Meaning, I don't understand the Tanakhama. Before Rabbi Shimon, the Tanakhama says, in all these cases, you're on the hook. I don't understand. All these are nedarim; they're all neder commitments, but every one of them, you have a pesach. You have an exit out, because someone taps you on the shoulder and someone says, "What are you talking about?" Right? Barley? No such thing. And now you can, in your defense, say, "Oh, thank you for informing me. Had I known that there's no such mincha from barley, I never would have made a neder. I thought there was mincha from barley. Now you're informing me otherwise? Okay, fine.
Forget it.
I'm not interested." So I don't understand the mission. The Gemara now wants to know, how do you understand the Tanakhama? So Amar Neder Pischolimo, who Amar Chizkiah, Hamani Beis Shammai, who Amar Tfos Lashon Rishon. So the Gemara's first approach, quoting Chizkiah, is that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Beis Shammai, Tfos Lashon Rishon. You take the first, you segment his sentence. He said, "Ha'omer harei alai mincha." Stop right there, right? Pause the tape. He said the word mincha. He's on the hook. Then he says the word sa'orim. Okay, we'll just ignore it. Ignore his qualification. This is the opinion of Beit Shammai. Tfos lashon rishon. Take the first statement. And how do I know this? The Amar. Did not we learn in the Mishnah in Nazir? Hareini Nazir min agrogos min advela. A person says, "I want to be a Nazir, and I will not eat another fig for the rest of my life, or however long." Now, Nazir has nothing to do with figs. Nazir is all about grapes and wine. So, min advela Beit Shammai armim Nazir, or Beit Shammai armim eino Nazir. Beit Shammai says you're a Nazir. Yeah, but you don't have the foggiest notion of what being a Nazir is. I'm going to be a Nazir and I'm not going to eat grapes. I'm sorry, and I'm not going to eat figs. So Beit Shammai says, I don't care. Tfos lashon rishon. You take the first statement and that's it. He said the word Nazir, he's committed to Nazir. That is the opinion of Beit Shammai. Tomorrow we'll come back, we'll start from this point in time. I'm going to understand Beit Shammai a little bit better tomorrow. Meaning, right now I gave a very simplistic explanation of Beit Shammai. Just simply take the first thing he says and ignore the rest. Okay? Come back tomorrow, we'll understand Beit Shammai a little bit better. And maybe there's another way to understand the Mishnah as well. We have minyan. Yeah.